with our expertise, process, and technologies, and we can help you power your Rimac because we have the end-to-end solutions for automation, for monitoring, for security, all the way from cloud service brokers to composable infrastructure and anything in between. And then, as you embrace your cloud journey and then optimize your process model, operational model, HP will be in there to help you to optimize your right mix. Okay, great. HP's cloud strategy is always a multi-cloud strategy. So HP believes a single cloud vendor may not have all the solutions that you need. And then in HP's view, that HP embraces multi-cloud. And Microsoft Azure is an important part of HP's multi-cloud strategy. That is, we have a strong strategic alliance. Oh, that's great. Strong strategic alliance with Microsoft going forward. And then our alliance cover many aspects, from preferred endorsement, as last year we announced that Microsoft will endorse HP as the preferred infrastructure vendor. And as a matter of fact, if you visited the Azure public cloud data center, HP infrastructure is actually powering the public Azure cloud. And then reciprocally, HP announced Microsoft as the preferred cloud provider. But the meat is also we are engaged in engineering collaboration that I'm involved in. The engineering collaboration has multifaceted and in many areas. Especially in this time, we are collaborating on Azure Stack, Azure Pack in the past, and all the solutions around these offerings. And then we established the center of excellence that when the time comes, you can bring your workload and then work together with our engineers. It will be staffed with HP engineers and then Microsoft engineers to solve your cloud needs and then offer you solutions. So you can bring your workload, bring your issues, bring your cloud questions to our center of excellence. We have experts to help you. And we also have partner programs. HP is a preferred partner for Microsoft, and then HP is also Microsoft cloud service partner. And then Microsoft is HP IoT partners. We also enable sales and solutions. We're training up to 4,000 sales and service people to service you. We know Azure Stack will roll out in next year, and by that time, our clients, our customers will have a lot of needs and the implementation questions, and we are there to help you. And then going forward, what is our offering mix for Microsoft Azure Hybrid Cloud? So first of all, we offer an all-inclusive integrated system, greatly enhanced time to value. That is our Azure Stack, and Azure Pack hardware stack. And also, we offer simple management. My colleagues is gonna talk about this. Single pane of glass to manage both Azure Public Cloud, Azure, and also Azure Stack, and also your traditional IT. Secure cloud services. We also offer great financial capabilities. Flexibility, we have flex capacity that lets you consume Azure Stack in-house, pay as you go. And then we have strong hybrid cloud expertise to help you embrace your journey to Azure Cloud. And then most of all our offerings, we are single vendor, even with Azure Pack and Azure Stack. Single vendor, single throat to choke, and we are responsible for supporting you. As my colleagues gonna talk more about the security solutions for Azure Service, just remember we have a portfolio of the security offerings from Secure Data, Fortify, to ArcSight, and offer a variety of security options. Secure Data and Secure Data Center security, and then comprehensive threat detection and compliance management, and all the way to complete application lifecycle protection. So a little bit primer, what is Azure? I think everybody know what is Azure. I'm not going details. It's a public cloud services. And then many services, if you open that, the key part of Azure has many services that you can utilize and then simplify your process and simplify your development access. And then Microsoft previously offered the Azure Pack solutions, which is based on Windows, so Windows technology and the System Center. On top of that, you build Azure looking like UI and also offering the IaaS and the PaaS services. This time, Microsoft bring the Azure Cloud Experience to the whole new level with Azure Stack. The Azure Stack, in Azure Stack, basically Microsoft bring the whole Azure code into the private cloud and then anchored on the Azure Resource Manager. The Azure Resource Manager API is the same across cloud and in private data centers. That enables a lot of integration from us to actually help you monitor secure because the ARM API call is the same. And also introduce the hardware integration and all these activities. And also for you, basically you can develop code once and use it both, deploy it both in the public cloud and the private cloud. So this is the Azure Pack. I'm not going any further with that. We have already have an offering with that. The Azure Pack, remember, it is a based on Windows technologies and a system center. We have many integration points with Azure Pack. And then our offering in this space is HP HyperConverged 250 for Microsoft CPS standard. It is a versatile system, and then the great form factor. You can see that downstairs, upstairs or downstairs, like this place is confusing. In exhibit hall, we have the HC250 in the pedestal, and you can see the system. It is a great form factor with four nodes in the chassis. We call it appliance, and then storage just sitting on the back. And then it can accommodate many applications Hyper-V can run, and also with HP OneView integration, and with all our storage services. Here's the stack. So if you look at the Azure Pack, right, HP infrastructure, that's our Apollo-based HC250. And then with Windows Service, we have the HP Store Virtual VSA technology provide software-defined storage. So VSA provide a storage pool for the Azure Pack. And going up for the System Center, HP OneView provide a plug-in to System Center. From the single pane of glass, you can view and visualize the hardware and the infrastructure. And also can do the monitoring and then do some activities with that, like update patches and all these things. All these solutions, when you deploy the Azure Pack on HC250, the OneView has instant on technologies basically with couple button click and with some input of your network information, your system can be up in no time. So we have great interaction, integration with Microsoft technologies to offer you Azure Pack. Okay, and we are continuing to improve that. What's new coming is we are enhanced the storage offerings. We offer hybrid storage pools with SAS and then SSD, and then offer a performance pool with just the flash storage, and offer the capacity pool in the storage capacity. And we also offer the great scale-up capabilities. From a single appliance, you're going from three node, two nodes, to four nodes. And from a cluster solutions, you can increase the cluster, the appliance count from one, two, to four. So give you greater flexibility and a scale out capability for Azure Pack. As I say, the next evolution is Azure Stack. Microsoft bring the whole Azure software experience into the private cloud and then let you utilize the same ARM code, ARM API to develop your software once and use it both in the private and the public public cloud. This is, I think, the biggest advantage it has. I download a Visual Studio template from Microsoft, and then using the same template, modify the API calls, the same API calls, modify the endpoint, so I can deploy a VM service both in the private Azure Stack and in the public Azure Cloud. I strongly encourage you, if you haven't tried the TP2, try this. And then it's really good, really cool, and then it will really open your developer's mind. If you're a software developer, really good news, right? Because your code is written in once, and all the API calls will work regardless in the public cloud and private Azure Stack. But Microsoft has to provide all these Azure Stack with more services. Right now, with TP2, TP1, there's not enough services. VM services, storage services, but more will be introduced. Database, IIS. Think about it. If you do web development, you don't want to worry about configured SQL. You don't really want to worry about configured IIS, others AD. These services are packaged into Microsoft app services, right? Web app services. All you need to focus on is your development of your web app and the modular development web app. These web app will call for these services. When you build and package these together, deploy the endpoint you can choose. Deploy to the cloud, provide your credentials, or deploy to the private Azure stack. They will work the same. So greatly enhance your flexibility, right? And then not like in the past, people just deployed to the cloud or just wanted in a private data center. You can do development, DevOps in the cloud, or you can do actual production deployment in the Azure Stack data centers. So enhance the security, flexibility, and the cost structures. So again, this is Microsoft Azure Stack. Azure Stack is not based on Windows, on the System Center technology, it's all new. It's the focal point of Azure Stack is Resource Manager, Azure Resource Manager. Same Azure Resource Manager in the public cloud is utilized in the Azure Stack. Biggest advantage of this one. And then it's the game changer. I'm sure other cloud vendors, other public cloud vendors, not name names, sooner or later will realize Microsoft get a leg up in this space. And then actually, customer will embrace this. Both experiences the same, and then I'm not naming, and sooner or later, they're gonna jump in. But we are ahead, and then you will experience this ahead of time. HP, Microsoft Azure Stack Solutions, we just make an announcement this morning. What is our solutions? We offer the maximized IT agility and the simplicity and the reduce the cost. So the essence of this solution is based on our best-selling best-of-breed ProLine DL380. You will see that later. And then you can go downstairs, see our actual hardware in actions. And then we provide 100% compatible Microsoft Azure Stack in your data center, and then deliver secure and compliant services, easy to move application between your Microsoft Azure and also your data center. Key part of this is when it delivered to you during the GA time, Microsoft say Azure Stack GA is gonna be middle of next year, right? When it deliver in GA time, this is delivered as appliance, as everything in a box, from compute, network, storage, in a box, with a solution, pre-built, validated in a factory, and certified. Ship it to you, connect it to your aggregate switches or your leaf switches, and then provide us with the VLAN and provide it with the BGP numbers, and then running our scripts, it will be in action in a couple hours. It's that simple. We all want to offer the best of breed technologies and the best time to value for you. So here is the hardware stack. This is the full stack in our lab. Downstairs is a half stack with four nodes. So basically, the TP2 certification stream, we are working with the full nodes, multi-node Azure Stack solutions with Microsoft. A lot of hard work, a lot of phone calls, a lot of going back and forth with Microsoft engineers. Four DL380 Gen 9 nodes, and then with a mix of flash. And then it's a hybrid storage mode, mix of flash and then mix of SAS drives. When it's GA time, the storage options will be widened. We can offer a range, and it depends on your need. And then with our Gen 9 technologies, and then also the 10 gig NIC card sitting on our back with dual ports. And then we are thinking of with Microsoft with all the two cards with single ports or dual ports. But most important thing, connect to your both top rack switches. Network is basically is a two 5900 top rack switches with 10 gig connections to your DL380 nodes, and then 40 gig uplink connections, and then one 5900 for management node connected for your iLoads and then other management capabilities such as upgrade software and hardware firmware upgrades. The optional 5930, we can provide the aggregate switches and the leaf switches for you, but it's not optional. And then what we want to make sure is the box is iron tight with the top rack switches, with the rack servers, and then connected, and then to your the switches you provide, and then provide us the data, and then we are in business. This is a network connection. I think most of the people here are in the technology. So the network connection and the network topology and the network configuration capabilities is the important part as we deliver a hyper-converged solutions like Azure Stack. Because everything we build in the factory, we want to make sure the network is not the issue when we do the customer side implementation. So we're very clear on the network connectivities, the VLAN we need, BGP numbers we want, and then our scripts in connect to your network, and how we handle error. There's a lot of work associated with that. Just not thinking it's easy, straightforward. There's a lot of easy, straightforward, but a lot of the work associated with it, because you have to think about the customers when they outside our rack, right? Top of racks connect to the customers, the leaf switches. There will be intricacy, there will be security concerns, other things. We have to take that into consideration when we co-develop the solution with Microsoft. And the script has to take into that consideration and give options and also how to do error handling. So I just introduced our solutions, hardware, and then our whole solutions. Now, remember, this is a TP2, what we announced, we're gonna offer this solution. This is a TP2 certification process. Things will improve, and then we'll offer advanced drives and other improvements as we go towards GA. But I think some of you will be joining us for our early adopter program, or joining us in our center of excellence to try out our hardware, and then bring your workload, and bring your applications, and see and how our Azure Stacks can serve your need. And then basically the UI, if you look at the UI, TP2 UI, maybe TP3 down the road, the Azure Stack UI won't change that much. The key part of difference is the multi-node and the single node is the failover capabilities, the warnings, the hardware intricacies, because we have to take into consideration what's the failover, how to rebuild the storage, and all these things. So that's all happen on the back. And then we want our early adopters work with us, and then to try this out, and then give us maximum feedback so we can offer a ironclad GA solutions to you. When in the GA, how can HP help you to speed up your journey to Azure Stack or Azure Hybrid Cloud? We offer advisory and then strategic workshops, engage our TSC folks, and then they will do workshops, understand your need, understand your development needs, and then what is available, what is not. So we can build a service, and then from concept to production, including service catalogs, and then service designs. It's important because Azure Stack is still not Azure regarding all the service availability. And then as your development needs arises, what is available, what is not, and we can help. HP's workload suitability and workload migration services, and also rapid deployment and integration into your existing environment. That we will continue to work with you. How do we get user experience to the maximum? And then I think we are on the right track with Microsoft. And then we actually, yesterday, there is a keynote, we have this our Azure Stack hardware on stage. They move it to our booth, and then connect back, and then run a sanity check, it's running again. So that's how simple it is. And then I was talking to Microsoft product manager, we are discussing, we say, hey, what's plan B, what happens in plan B if they connect to things? So tomorrow a customer coming, it's gonna live demos and all these things. And he say, yeah, you know, we tried in the lab. If nothing happens, we can reload Azure Stack with our scripts. Since the hardware is already built, we can reload that. 2.5 hours, we're in business again. So we have both plan A and plan B. So this tell you how integrated solution works for you and the reduced IT headache. So there are other support capabilities HP has to satisfy your need. Most important thing is we are offering this Azure Stack and Azure Service as a single vendor. So single throat to choke, 24/7 support, and then you can count on HP to support all your Azure Stack needs. And then with that, I want to introduce my colleagues to talk about security and then the management solutions.
Can you hear me? Hey, everyone. Mike, I think I need there.
So, hello everyone, my name is Asaf Schechter. I'm from the customer-oriented R&D in our IT operations business. And today I want to speak with you about monitoring the Azure stack. So how many of you from operations, or at least familiar with what operations are doing? No one. One. Good. All the chairs are quiet. I hope the humans will participate more. I was sitting here and listening to the Azure stack, and from my perspective, it's just going to make our life a lot more difficult. So let's see a quick video about Operations Bridge.
Information technology is everywhere. It's in every plane that lands, every purchase made, every transaction completed. Almost everything in our world relies on uninterrupted, high-speed transfer of information across immense numbers of networks as a means for making things happen. But information about what is happening is not knowledge. It's not enough to collect data. In order to obtain knowledge, information needs to be understood. It needs to be brought to life in a meaningful way that delivers both detail and clarity, helping you analyze events as they are happening and provide you with all of the relevant information needed to make operational decisions on the fly, in real time, in order to make your business better. This is what we do best at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Operations Bridge. As issues in IT networks unfold, HPE Operations Bridge helps you identify, drill down, and isolate them before they become critical, improving service delivery by up to 76%. Our advanced big data analytics and comprehensive displays allow real-time visibility and monitoring, which reveal root causes simply and fast, allowing real-time operational judgment calls for personnel on all levels, helping save valuable time and costs. And for executives, HPE Operations Bridge creates a comprehensive understanding of the overall operations, enabling decisions that accelerate user satisfaction based on what is actually happening in the business. Coherent, colorful, and comprehensive, our new Operations Bridge turns information to business value, making IT a strategic partner. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Operations Bridge, operations through a business lens.
Okay. So what is Operation Bridge? What's the problem that IT are facing today? In the age of the Internet of Things, the data that starts flowing into the operations is going to create a glare, right?
IT operations generate.
Yep. Okay. A glare of the data, right? With the amount of services, servers that we are monitoring, it's going to be difficult to find where is the root cause, where to focus. And this is what Operation Bridge is coming to help you. Get the lens to focus on where the problem is, to resolve the issues as soon as possible, return services to availability, making sure the end users are not impacted, or as some customers call, meantime to innocent. Fix the problem so service or business will be back to normal. So with operations, there are different areas where problem can happen. It can be your traditional IT on the server. It can be cloud, public cloud, private cloud. It just makes life more difficult to understand where are the issues and how to manage those. This is where HPE and the IT operations, we can help you to automate the resolution by sensing the environment, continuously monitoring, getting understanding where the issues are and what's the business impact. Analyzing all the amount of data to make sense out of it, to understand what is the issue, what is the impact, which users are impacted, how to fix it as soon as possible based on previous cases, and adapt. The environment is changing. You know, now with the Azure Cloud and private stack, it's going to make it more difficult. More technologies are emerging out there. You know, I will name some of the other competitors. You know, Docker, AWS, there are lots of vendors, lots of technology. It's just going to make the IT life a lot more difficult. And this is where we need to adopt and fix things quicker. With the Operation Bridge, we help you to achieve that. Sensing the different environment with different data collectors, with different connectors, different integrations, real-time dashboards to understand what's currently happening, which services are impacted, which locations are impacted, analyzing the data. And with big data platform that we have, we can do real machine learning algorithm to understand, to help you resolve the issues as they're happening. Orchestrating the processes to automate. Let your people do more of the innovation work and less of actually fixing the problems. If there are things you can automate, why don't you build those automation rules or flows to focus, help you to focus on the right things. Here we see some examples of how we are doing this operation through the business lens. The business value dashboard, a very simple, neat tool that can actually help you to build the dashboards for your business based on the data we are collecting. Very simple design with Microsoft Visio, actually, very simple tool. Drill down and custom your dashboard to your need. Get actually any kind of data feed. You can put their RSS feed, videos. But more important, business data. What is my services, how they're functioning, how much dollar value I lost in the last hour because the server was down. Analyzing all the data in a big data platform. Automating the login event analytics. Pinpointing those log messages and event messages that are important. As you can see here, the top 30 log messages. These are the things you probably want to focus. If they are repeating, fix that problem. It will give the business way more value. Predicting what's going to happen if this performance is going to remain for the next week or so. What's my SLAs? How my SLAs are going to be impacted by this performance? All the purpose here is to help you to keep your availability and performance up to par with the business requirement. As for Azure, we're releasing an Azure content pack to get persistent data in the operation bridge, real-time dashboards about what's my services, how they're running, how's my CPU and memory of my virtual servers, which container is impacted or not, help you faster troubleshoot and fix the problem in automating those runbook and actions to help you automate deployment in the Azure stack. Guiding the problem resolution. Build those automations around fixing the problem. Let your operation teams get and do more of their day-to-day work instead of fixing problem, go and restart the server, read the log, see what's happening. Automatic discovery of your service tree. Today, the server is running in the public cloud. Tomorrow, you decide to move it to the on-prem private cloud. You need to discover that dependency automatically to be able to reflect the application and services health correctly. Now the Operation Bridge is fully automated, working with the traditional IT, public cloud, private cloud. Here are some examples from existing customer. Some customers saving $1.2 million in a year in operation costs because they were able to automate and focus on the right things, fixing the right problem instead of wasting time, and of course, time is money, on trying to find the root cause. 58% reduction of mean time to restore service availability. Automating the IT processes. So with Operation Bridge, We have different data collections. It can be agent-based, it can be agentless, it can be HPE tools, of course, it can be third party, and with the different content packs and connector, you can bring the data into the operation bridge to be able to consume it. Mobile friendly tablet business value dashboard to help your business user understand how the IT is actually doing. From the data, from the operation bridge, you can then run more processes like opening tickets, ticketing system, automation, open requirements, do all the DevOps cycle from those issues you're seeing. Of course, we have also the cloud optimizer, another layer on top of a cloud management suite that can help you evaluate and govern your virtualized environment, do what if scenarios, so what will happen if I'm going to run another application on that stack? Will it hold? Will it break? Do I need to provision more servers? Do I have enough CPU, memory, and so on? So that's it about the operation bridge. I hope I just tickled your sense of what is HP is offering in the operation bridge. Of course, we can you can come later on to the booth and we can deep dive more on the operation bridge, what they're offering. Here you have some important information. And now I'll pass the torch to Farshad to talk about security. Thank you.
Thank you, Asif. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. I hope you'll get something of value here. Sorry for the loud noise here. So, we all know what's the number one impediment in people adopting cloud, security. And so this section is really about security, addressing how we can secure the data, I mean moving into the cloud or anywhere else for that matter. And we are going to look at a customer use case, an actual customer who has been using multi-cloud environment to major public cloud providers. So I don't want to delve too deep into this, but we know that typical risks exist for whether it's on-prem or in a cloud, and we do know that on-cloud uses a lot of best security practices. However, people are still concerned. They're concerned about multiple different issues, shadow IT, blind subpoena, what if the government comes and gets my data from Azure or AWS? And am I going to be involved in this whole process at all? What is the rogue IT, et cetera. So there's a lot of concerns around the security of the data. And data is where enterprises are making money, and so are the hackers. So there's a big emphasis on that. And in addition to that, to complicate matters more, we are seeing a surge of data residency, data sovereignty. For example, in Europe, there's a GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation, that's coming up and is very far-reaching. Up to 4% of your revenue is going to be as a penalty if you have multiple breaches, and you have to have chief data officers and so on. So data is really at the center, at the heart of all of these issues. Customers want to our enterprises want to make money by understanding the trends, by understanding and making meaning and sense out of the data, and hackers want to steal it. So what we are going to show you is a unified security solution across all of your entire environment. It doesn't matter if it's going to the cloud or you have a heterogeneous environment with IBM mainframes and HP nonstop. It's going to be a single approach for all of that. And so in the interest of time, I'll be going a little bit quickly on this. So let's take a look at the traditional issues with security. So we'll be geeking it out a little bit, so bear with me. I'll try to keep it as high level as possible. But if you can look at it, we have had lots of different security solutions in place, from the TLS, SSL type of things, to perimeter, firewall, et cetera, disk encryption, volume storage encryption, and so on and so forth. But they obviously are not answering all the problems that we are facing today. And why is that? Because we are leaving security gaps, and that's quite important. So imagine once you receive the data, and you have had a TLS pipe securing the transmission, so nobody can come in the middle, there's no man-in-the-middle attack, so you're definitely sure of where your data is going. But what happens to your data once it gets to the server? It's in clear text. SSL protected it all the way to the server, Apache, IIS, whatever. But at that point, there's an application that's actually receiving that data in the clear. And what happens to that after? The data is going to be moved from one application to another, to the middleware and so on, and eventually be stored in a database. That's the stack all the way going down. Lots of opportunities for malware in the application processor, in the middleware, in the database, potential hacking. It's all possible that people gain access. Now, what we are offering here is a data-centric solution, and this is going to address the data itself. As soon as the data is coming in, you replace it with a surrogate value, one that fully and uniquely represents the original one, and however, it's not the same as your credit card. So if you go, for example, in a Home Depot and swipe your card at a, you know, at a cash register and a POS device, right there and then, your credit card number, before it even hits the cash register, it's swapped to another value called a token, which is exactly looking and feeling just like a credit card. It's a 16 digits, if your card is 16 digits card, and it, you have the option of having the first six and last four in the clear. However, that value is not the same as your credit card. It fully represents it, but it's not it. So if the cash register has malware, we saw that in Target case, what do they get? Nothing. That token which they cannot use, and it's not a credit card. So, and that value goes throughout the entire system, from payment processors to the issuing bank and so on. All of that steps, that value can maintain its original encrypted or tokenized version. And it even gets stored in a database in that fashion. And that's why we call it a data-centric security. One that is really revolving around the data itself and not around the perimeter or firewall or anything else. And with that, I'm going to introduce why we can do that and traditional encryption methods have not been able to do that. We invented something called format-preserving encryption. And we have been working with standard bodies. It's not some ROT 13 looking and behind the scenes is very weak. We actually worked with NIST, and it has become a NIST standard as of earlier this year. After many years of their cryptographers and mathematicians were looking at it in detail, and it's been vetted very, very rigorously. So format-preserving encryption gives you the ability to encrypt something, yet maintain its original structure and format, even length. If you look at it, we have social security number can be fully encrypted, as well as the credit card, as well as email data, almost virtually any kind of data elements. And if you look at the HIPAA high-tech with the 18 different element types that you need to secure, you see that one of them, we can actually apply our technology to all of them. So the credit card, the email, the social security is coming in right at the point of ingestion, and that's quite critical. Right at the point you're gaining access to that data, swap it with these values. And that's why we can do that. Traditional encryption, like AES-CVC mode, does not lend itself to be reused across along the way. Applications see that, and all of a sudden, they say something is wrong, so they cannot really take advantage of that encryption, and encryption stops the data from flowing. It cannot be stored even in a database. Now, that surrogate value, I'm showing here in an example, the red table is the one that is containing all the clear text. So we are receiving the data through some online forms, maybe, you know, you're signing up for health insurance and so on. So all of that data is coming in and gets immediately turned into their equivalent looking format preserve encrypted values. And that value is going to propagate throughout your entire system. Now, suddenly you see this value, this 16-digit value token, is showing up all over the world that is being used, you know, for payment all over. It's not the real credit card, but it represents only one credit card. So you know something is amiss. Something is happening. There's some fraudulent activities going on. So what do? You can ship that token to a very secure system that is authenticated and is authorized and can actually retrieve your original values. And that is, again, represented by on the right-hand side on the table on top. And then you can take, you know, the fraud prevention steps that you usually need to. You can get the customer name and everything else. But overall, the data always stays in a protected format. Now, that's a key thing. Compared with today's environment, you take the data, you store it in your database, and only in certain cases you encrypt it. So the attack surface is everywhere except for that one. Now we are saying, let's do the opposite. Everywhere it's going to be encrypted except when you actually need that data. It's like whitelisting only certain access and usage. So this is just highlighting that we have been working with a lot of standard bodies across all of our technology. I mentioned tokenization. Tokenization is somewhat different than encryption, and that's a preferred method from PCI Council in terms of dealing with credit cards specifically. And we use it primarily for credit card. And we use format preserving encryption for everything else. But as you can see, we have been working with NIST, we have been working with NCX9119, and so on. So we have been pushing our technology onto standard bodies. They have been heavily vetted. In fact, NSA weighed in some proposal and rejected it, and NIST looked at it and agreed with NSA's assessment. And so our technology, of course, stayed and has become a standard NIST special publication 800-38G, as you can see here. So that is an important aspect. Having a standard-based crypto gives you the ability and the leverage in case there's a breach. If you're using proprietary solutions, you have 24 to 48 hours, like Safe Harbor and GDPR, that you have to notify the public. However, that's generally not the case when you're using a standard-based technology. So we have these technologies, format-preserving encryption and stateless tokenization, secure stateless tokenization. But we top that with a stateless key management. We have this mantra in the crypto world that encryption is easy. It's the key management that's really, really difficult to actually do. And if you look at any like RSA key pairs, you know, private and public, I give you the public so you can encrypt all the messages you're sending me, and I can decrypt them with my private key. However, I have to guard that private key with my life, because if I lose it, I cannot decrypt messages you send me. If somebody else gains access, they can decrypt my messages. So it's very important. So you have to put it in key vaults and so on. It becomes a whole mess. What we do is identity-based encryption that we have also brought to the standard bodies, and with that, we solve the whole key management. It's just-in-time key derivation when you need it for whatever purpose you need it at that time. And once you're done with it, you don't keep it, you don't store it in a key vault. That's a very clear distinction between older technologies and our technology, because right now, if you're looking at Internet of Things, look at the hundreds of millions of connected cars that are going to be out there, home sensors and so on. All of these devices need to securely communicate to the servers their information, very important information, GPS location, sensor information. You don't want people hacking into those things. And how do you scale to that level? How do you scale to hundreds of millions of connected devices? It's practically impossible with the old key vaults. You cannot safeguard all of those keys using traditional technologies. With our stateless key management, you can actually do that very easily and address that. In fact, we are working with some major manufacturer on that. And the thing is, we are talking about the cloud here on Azure, an Azure stack. And so it gives you an ability, as you're moving from Azure stack to Azure, you're moving the data. The data is going to be always in an encrypted format. All the relevant data, critical pieces of information that you don't want anybody steal, and PII or PHI inform. However, the rest of the data is still available, so you can still run analytics on it. And your analytics can be anywhere. It could be on a cloud, could be on Teradata, it could be on IBM mainframe, and so on. You can have a single unifying security solution. You can encrypt on Azure and decrypt on Teradata or anywhere else. And we support all of these environments, the big data, the enterprise applications, and so on. So just in the interest of time, I'll kind of wrap it up in terms of why this thing works and why a lot of our customers really want to standardize in the whole enterprise with this one single unifying solution. First of all, it allows you to use your existing applications because it doesn't change the format. Typical encryption has this problem on the left-hand side versus right-hand side. Right-hand side is a good one, by the way. Left-hand side, you can see the encryption happening on a credit card, and you all of a sudden get some weird random characters that you cannot really use in the application. If an application is looking at that, it may think that you're trying to do SQL injection and stop you from actually sending this downward. However, ours will maintain the format, and in addition, it also gives you the ability to have, for example, the first 6 in a clear, last 4 in a clear, and just have the middle 6 encrypted based on the entire 16 digits. The other part is that because we maintain, we preserve the length of the data, you know that your databases typically have very strict schemas. Again, AES does not lend itself to be used for encrypting the data and being put inside the database unless you change your entire database schema. Now, with our solution, if it's going to maintain its length as well as the format and structure, then you can actually use the existing database with its existing schema, no problem. And again, simplified management of all the keys, because you don't have to deal with the keys. You just, the application that it wants to encrypt or decrypt requests it, gets it, that's it. Nobody else needs to store it anywhere. So all those expensive as well as very complex ways of managing the keys are gone. So, and at the end of it, it's an end-to-end security. It can be from anywhere to anywhere, and we'll take a look at it, a multi-cloud actual use case in this scenario. So this was the problem for our customers. They wanted to move to the cloud. They had lots of different data elements. Who was this guy, this company? This company provided insurance for your cell phone. So if you go, for example, to Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, and so on, you can add a little insurance for a couple of dollars a month or so, and they provide a lot of usage for their customers. So for example, they back up your data automatically, so you don't have to do that, all your pictures, everything else. But they have been trying to sell more of their services to the companies like AT&T and Verizon and so on. So they were collecting a lot of additional information, such as what apps were you running when it crashed? What was the battery level? What was your GPS coordinate? So a lot of these things are very sensitive data. And they were using both AWS and Azure. AWS was for collecting the data and Azure for doing the enrollment. They had common pieces between them. For example, the credit card or social security was common, but they did not have a good way of correlation. Now we have encryption possibilities within both AWS as well as Azure. However, there are point solutions. As you want to get out of AWS or as you want to get out of Azure, you'd have to decrypt it if you want to use the data. And there was no good way of correlating the data between the two. So what we did is actually used our technology and encrypted data in both places with the same solution. And therefore, the common elements between them remained encrypted the same way. So if you had a social security number, it would be encrypting the same on AWS as well as on Azure. And that could become a way to join tables, join information, and make more sense out of the data. Now, here is what the actual architecture looked like. As you can see, AWS for analytics and real-time apps, as well as Azure for customer enrollment. And they built their whole CASB, Cloud Access Security Broker. And all the data that was going into the cloud was actually being encrypted with our solution on its way out to the cloud. That didn't matter which cloud it was going. Because of our unique differentiation and the referential integrity, and referential integrity means A is encrypting to B, B always decrypts back to A. And so you would never have two credit cards that be tokenized to the same value. So there's never a conflict. So we know this value is not a social security number, but it's the same value in these two tables, in two different cloud providers. So we can join this data and make more sense of the combined set of data analytics that we have on there. So that was a great way for our customers to actually benefit from the data. And a lot of our customers say we can do up to 90% of our analytics on that encrypted set because we encrypt you know, the critical and sensitive data elements, such as social security numbers, such as credit card numbers, emails, names, and so on. But the rest of the information is still available for anybody who wants to run it through analytics. And we see that a lot. Third-party vendors that are providing analytics solution, but you need to de-identify certain data elements before going out, and that's quite critical. Or also we see that in healthcare, they would like to exchange information, however, they want to protect, they have to protect as per HIPAA and HITECH regulations. So the other use of this technology is around data sovereignty and data residency. We see that popping up in many different parts of the world. And with our technology, since the key generation, key derivation could be done in country, and only the surrogate values can be leaving the country, and the actual values can reside within the country, you can address those data residency issues using this technology as well. So with that, just a summary point, you can control the logical, I'm sorry, the fonts do not lend themselves to be read, so it's not meant to be cryptic. But you can maintain the physical location of your data within countries, but let the data to be used everywhere else. And that is through the de-identification of those very sensitive data elements. Or as GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation, calls it, pseudonymization and anonymization of data. And it's a unified approach towards your entire solution. You can encrypt on any platform, and we have solutions on IBM, mainframe, HP, nonstop, Linux, Windows, Mac, etc. So you can encrypt as the data is coming into any environment and can be used across your entire organization, a heterogeneous environment. No customer has just one type of environment. And with that, I guess we could open up for some Q&A from all three of us. If anybody is remaining. Michael?